Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Sophie Briggs and the Lightning Weapon by Martha Carr and Michael Anderle. Narrated by M. Eldridge. Chapter 1. Dorothy glanced around the empty office, then yanked open the bottom drawer of her file cabinet and shoved a handful of papers into a folder in the back. The letter M was written on a small, white label on the folder's tab. Darla would need the folder soon, or at least she would need a nearly identical one. Dorothy had it stored safely in a lockbox under her desk. The one in Dorothy's file cabinet had a special purpose, a counterpurpose to Darla's, and she needed to fill it as full as she could with useful information. Dorothy heard the clicks of Darla's stilettos heading in her direction and quickly shut the file cabinet. She lowered herself into her chair and woke her computer screen, just as the willowy blonde bustled into the room. A phone pressed to her ear and a stack of papers in her arms. "I don't care how you do it," she hissed to the person on the phone. "I'll sign whatever forms you need." She brushed past Dorothy's desk, and the stack of papers hit the desktop with a dull thwack. "I need to go. I'll talk later." "Afternoon, Mrs. Templeton," Dorothy greeted. Darla didn't respond, just picked up some of the papers she'd tossed on Dorothy's desk. "I've never seen the likes of this," she snapped. "Report after report after report." She licked her finger as she flicked through the papers. "It seems we've had an uptick in those recently." Dorothy kept her voice level. "Wonder what all the chaos is about." Darla flipped the switch on the shredder and began jamming papers into it. "I don't have time to deal with all these. Nobody has time to deal with all this. It's all the same thing, a year behind about that blasted tree. Isn't there a statute of limitations on these?" Dorothy watched the shreds land in the shredder's receptacle. The date on one of them caught her eye. "Wait," she put out a hand. "This one is recent." "Oh." Darla scanned it, and her eyes narrowed.
"So it is."
She gave it to Dorothy.
"This one needs to be burned."
Dorothy nodded. "Understood, ma'am." As Darla turned to look at the rest of the papers, Dorothy made a subtle switch. She dropped the report on the floor, making sure it fluttered silently under her desk. The assistant placed her foot on it to keep it in place. She then picked up a blank sheet from her inbox, conjured a flame, and incinerated it. "Done." Darla turned back, nodding in satisfaction at the charred mess in Dorothy's hand. She then waved her hand dismissively. "Just shred the rest." As Darla clicked away, her cell phone rang, and she stepped out of the office to answer it. Dorothy, keeping an eye on the doorway, examined the report she'd saved. It had Norma Case's signature and detailed the discovery of a machine beneath the school that had channeled elemental energy into crystal bottles to be sold. Dorothy pursed her lips as she read. The students and faculty had worked together to destroy the machine and capture its maker. A rebellious agent Dorothy knew all too well. When that had failed, a young man had courageously stepped forward to siphon the energy from Connor and disarm him. A young man named... Dorothy's heart leapt. So this was why they wanted him. She went over and tucked the report into her M folder, making sure Darla couldn't see her. Her hands were tied for the most part. After all, she worked for Darla, the self-proclaimed queen of the underground. Once you got in this deep, there was no finding your way back out. Not without challenging the blackest of them all, Gregory Templeton, Darla's husband, and the current president of Elemental Affairs. Dorothy shuddered.
She'd only met the man once, and it was an experience she longed to forget. His amber eyes and calm, ghostly demeanor haunted her. He'd talked of death and chaos flippantly, as if he weren't the chief executive of an organization whose sole job was to track down threats to non-magical safety. She now knew that human lives were a small price to pay for the kind of power these people craved, but she was finding small ways to fight back against the Templeton Empire. If she could save one kid from a lifetime of regrets, if she could spare him the pain she hadn't been able to spare herself, she'd do it. Chapter 2. Sophia Briggs laughed. Tucked beside her on the sofa in her parents' RV were her roommates, best friend, and her little sister, watching a movie as the late afternoon sun began to set.
"Bree Bree, will you pass me another cookie?"
Amelia Briggs, Sophie's little sister, asked Brianna.
"Sure."
Bree handed her the package.
"You girls are going to be wired."
Joyce Briggs looked back from the passenger seat.
"Don't worry, Mom. We'll all pass out when we get there," Sophie replied.
"If this darn GPS doesn't lead me astray,"
Walter muttered as he punched the buttons on the phone's screen. They were on their way to Lake Cumberland for a week of summer fun. Leslie, Bree, and Janet had convinced their parents to let them fly out to Sophie's for the summer. And Charlotte, who lived close to Sophie in Lexington, was staying for 1 week. It was a dream come true for Sophie. A whole week to do nothing but talk about boys, roast marshmallows, swim in the lake, and roam freely through the campground, with no assignments to worry about and no curfews. Walter finally got the coordinates right, and they pulled into a bustling campsite. The girls dragged out their deluxe tent and blow-up mattresses.
"You know, it's not really camping if you have all these luxuries," Janet remarked as she used her gift to anchor the tent stakes in the ground.
She sat back on her feet, admired her handiwork, and then shook her head as Millie stepped inside the enormous tent, dragging her air mattress with her.
"It's called glamping." Bree bumped Janet with her hip as she passed, lantern in hand.
She started a fire in the metal pit they'd brought, coaxing it with a steady stream of air.
Who wants to have to do it the old-fashioned way anyway?
"For once, I agree wholeheartedly," Leslie noted. She was helping Joyce funnel clean water into the RV's water tank.
"Me too," Charlotte chimed in as she carried an armload of blankets into the tent.
"Having you girls here really does help tremendously. There are just some things life can't do."
Joyce patted Leslie's back, then stepped inside the RV. Sophie broke into a bag of marshmallows and brought them to the fire.
"Anyone want s'mores?"
That quieted everyone, nicely enough. And soon the girls were all settled by the fire pit, watching the sunset over the lake.
"Man, this is great," Bree declared, marshmallow dripping off her chin.
"Yeah, summer's just started, but I already know I'll be sad when it's time to go back. I mean, I miss Vince and everything." Leslie blushed.
"It's just nice to enjoy life without anything asking for your attention."
"Same," Sophie, Bree, Charlotte, and Janet chorused.
"Aren't you and Charlotte going to be combat mentors?" Millie asked. "That would be so exciting."
"Well, Sophie is.
But I've decided I'm going to work in the greenhouse," Charlotte announced. Sophie hummed with a sly grin.
"That wouldn't have anything to do with the fact that your boyfriend works there, would it?"
Charlotte nudged Sophie.
"You're one to talk, girl. You and Marcus are going to be getting cozy in advanced combat."
Sophie rolled her eyes, but she couldn't hide a smile. Chapter 3.
The week at Lake Cumberland passed faster than Sophie would have liked, and she tearfully hugged her friends as they dropped them off at the airport.
"You guys have a safe trip," she asserted.
"You do know we're not the pilots, right?" Bree retorted with a grin.
"Don't remind me."
Janet chewed on one of Bree's oatmeal cookies.
"I hate flying."
After her friends left, the summer seemed to fly by. In the buzz of it all, Sophie forgot about the ominous message on the oak leaf. Instead, she and her sister enjoyed long evenings chasing fireflies and lounging in the pool. And during the muggy daytime hours, they'd sunbathe and talk about the year to come.
"I feel like you just got here."
Millie helped Sophie pack her bags the day before the new semester.
"What am I gonna do without my big sis?"
Sophie ruffled her hair.
"We still have all day."
Millie stuck her tongue out.
"Yeah, but your boyfriend is coming over."
Sophie laughed. "You can still hang out with us, you know."
"Not if you'll be all smoochy."
Millie fake gagged.
"Gross."
Sophie gave her sister a playful shove. Her phone pinged as she heard her dad's voice from the front hall.
"Looks like Marco's here,"
Walter called. Sophie heaved a sigh, hurrying to the front door.
"It's Marcus, Dad. Marcus."
Walter ruffled Sophie's hair, and Sophie frowned, smoothing it back down.
"I can't keep up with all your boyfriends," he said with a chuckle.
Sophie rolled her eyes, then headed out the door, Millie close on her heels. Marcus stepped out of a beige sedan in the driveway. He'd grown his platinum blonde hair a bit, and it fell in front of his eyes like it had when Sophie first met him.
"Hey."
He smiled as she approached and nodded toward the car with a smug grin.
"Did you see?"
"Yeah, is that yours?" Sophie asked.
"Yep."
Marcus opened his wallet and showed his license.
"I can drive myself now."
"That's awesome," Sophie exclaimed.
Marcus grinned, pulling her into a hug.
"Cool car,"
Millie avowed, her eyes wide with admiration.
"You like it?"
Marcus asked, smiling at her.
"It's pretty plain, but it runs. It's a nice, sensible car,"
Walter professed as he approached. Joyce followed close behind. Marcus took a step back from Sophie, nodding politely.
"Yes, sir."
Walter clapped Marcus's shoulder affectionately.
"Such good manners."
"Nice to see you again, Marcus, dear."
Joyce hugged him.
"And don't you pay any attention to Walter's teasing. He can't help himself."
"What are all these bags?" Millie asked. She'd climbed into the driver's seat and peered at the luggage in the back.
"We go back to school tomorrow. I packed ahead of time."
Marcus winked at Millie.
"Since I knew I'd be with you girls all day."
Millie smiled.
"Yep."
She climbed out of the car. She took Marcus's hand and dragged him toward the front door.
"We got swimming to do now, so come on."
Okay, I'm coming."
Marcus glanced back at Sophie with a grin. Sophie laughed.
"You might have just lost your boyfriend," Joyce chuckled.
"That's okay." Sophie walked back toward the house with her parents. "I get to be with him all semester. She only gets to see my friends a few times a year." After Marcus was tucked away in the guest bathroom, Millie dragged Sophie to their shared bathroom, where Sophie helped her into her bathing suit and applied sunscreen.
"Make sure you get the back of my neck," Millie directed, pointing at a red spot. "You forgot it last time."
"Girl, when are you gonna learn to put on your own sunscreen?" Sophie held Millie's hair back and rubbed her neck with the lotion.
"When I'm all grown up, I guess."
Millie examined herself in the mirror, fluffing out the tutu on her bathing suit. You think Marcus will like it? Sophie giggled.
Don't tell me you have a crush on him.
No, Millie swatted at Sophie. I just think he's cute.
Sophie touched Millie's nose, putting a dot of sunscreen on it. You know what I think?
What?
Millie scrunched her nose. He already thinks you're adorable. Millie blushed.
I mean, I am irresistible.
Sophie laughed, shooing Millie out of the bathroom so she could change. Get out of here, you little heartbreaker. Millie giggled, and Sophie shook her head. A few moments later, she emerged from the bathroom, her long brown hair braided into two plaits, a short cover dress over her one-piece bathing suit. She kept tugging the end down, feeling self-conscious. But Millie and Marcus were nowhere to be found. She stepped into the kitchen, looking out the patio door to see they were already out in the pool, splashing each other. She smiled broadly. Millie was irresistible, it seemed.
There you are. I didn't see you out there, Joyce noted.
Miss Thing had me get her all ready and then ran off with my boyfriend, Sophie proclaimed with faux indignation.
Figures.
Joyce laughed.
They're thicker than thieves already.
I'm glad, Sophie affirmed. I was afraid she wouldn't like him after everything that happened during my first semester.
Joyce hugged Sophie's shoulders. Turns out you were absolutely right about him. He's a keeper, hun.
She kissed Sophie's cheek, then gave her a little nudge forward.
Go on, go have fun.
Marcus's heart felt so full. Here he was, enjoying the sunshine, becoming fast friends with Sophie's little sister. She was spunky and adorable, just like he imagined Sophie must have been at her age.
You like my bathing suit?
Millie spread out the ruffles in her tutu, batting her eyelashes.
Of course, my lady.
Marcus grinned at her.
You look like a princess.
Oh, look, there's Sissy,
Millie pointed. Marcus turned toward the deck with a grin, but he quickly gulped. Sophie pulled her cover-up dress over her head, revealing her mermaid print one-piece suit and her long, tanned legs. The suit cut was modest enough, but it still clung to her figure. And with her long hair up in braids and bejeweled sunglasses on, she looked like a model. He couldn't see her eyes, but he could sense her sudden shyness as she realized he was staring at her.
Isn't she pretty?
Millie coyly questioned. Marcus blushed.
Oh, stop it, Mills, Sophie said.
She picked up a bottle of soda, kicked her flip-flops off, then ran and jumped in, losing her sunglasses. Millie laughed, kicking herself beneath the water to get the sunglasses. Sophie shook her head, then opened her eyes, laughing.
All in, huh?
Marcus asked with a grin.
Yeah.
Sophie kicked over to a float and hauled herself up on it, tucking her soda into the cup holder. That way, laying out in the sun is not so hot.
What is it with girls and laying out in the sun?
Marcus asked as Millie handed Sophie her sunglasses. So we look like this. Sophie gestured to her tanned arms and legs as she put her shades back on. Not like you. Marcus glanced down at his pasty, bare chest and laughed.
I guess you have a point.
Millie looked at Marcus, her gaze conspiratorial. Marcus moved closer to her, and Millie tugged him down, whispering in his ear.
You want to see something funny?
She jerked her head toward Sophie's float, then raised her eyebrows. Marcus grinned.
Sure.
Millie kicked herself over, swimming beneath the float. Don't you get any ideas? Sophie pulled her glasses down to glare at Marcus.
What?
Marcus shrugged, swimming closer. He knew his knowing grin had given everything away.
I'm innocent.
Sophie let out a shriek as Millie tipped her float over.
she came spluttering to the surface, revenge burning in her eyes. Marcus cackled with laughter.
Millie!
She splashed Marcus for good measure. I know you were in on it too. Millie popped up on the other side of the float, laughing hysterically.
Millie, Joyce called from inside. Come talk to Grandma on the phone for a second.
Aw,
Millie heaved a sigh.
I'll be back.
You escaped my wrath. This time. Sophie crossed her arms and grinned as Millie climbed out of the pool and stuck her tongue out. As Millie disappeared inside, Sophie shook her head. Leave it to that one to spoil a perfectly good sunbathing. She pulled herself onto the float, but her arms and legs, slick with sunscreen and repeated dousing in the pool, wouldn't give her enough traction to stay. She slid back down with a growl of frustration.
Need some help?
Marcus asked, laughter still in his voice. No, I got it. Sophie tried again, getting almost to the top before sliding off again. As she slid, Marcus caught her waist, hoisting her up and over the short walls of the float. She clambered back up and got comfortable, trying to hide a blush.
Thanks.
Marcus grinned, a playful glint in his eye.
No problem.
He handed Sophie her sunglasses.
Wouldn't you rather be down here, though?
Sophie hurriedly put the glasses back on, blushing. She couldn't stop looking at his bare chest and arms. While he was no bodybuilder, there was a good bit of boyish muscle on his lanky frame, enough to lightly define his biceps and abdominal muscles. That, combined with his pale skin, practically glowing in the sun, made it hard to look away. What do you mean? She quizzed. Marcus grabbed her float, a wicked grin on his face.
Don't you dare, Sophie exclaimed, laughing despite herself.
Marcus tipped her float, and she slid off, half laughing, half shrieking, throwing her arms around his neck to keep from going underwater. Laughing, he caught her in his arms, then took her glasses off, smirked, and tossed his blonde hair out of his eyes.
I like your sister's ideas, he teased.
Sophie blushed furiously, then splashed him directly in the face. He sputtered, then looked at her, his gray eyes wide.
Oh, so it's a fight now.
It was Sophie's turn to grin. Game on. They launched into a splash battle, using the water spray toys Millie had brought out to the pool.
Too bad we're not water elementals, Sophie remarked, just before Marcus's strike hit her shoulder.
That would be a battle worth seeing,
Marcus agreed, shielding his face from Sophie's counterattack. Sophie ducked under the water, swimming quickly to the overturned float, but felt a tug on her ankle. Looking back, she saw Marcus dragging her backward, then kicking out with long strokes, heading for the float himself. Sophie's eyes widened. He was a surprisingly good swimmer. She hurried after him, coming to the surface under the float, just as he did. They grinned at each other, treading water.
Don't even think about sunbathing, Marcus teased.
I was gonna use it as a shield, Sophie retorted. Marcus moved closer, smiling mischievously. He put his hands on her waist, pulling her close.
Good idea.
Sophie rested her hands on his bare chest, her ears and cheeks burning. His deep gray eyes sparkled with a boyish delight. But as he moved in for a kiss, Sophie heard the patio door open.
Hey, where'd you guys go?
Millie's indignant voice rang out. Marcus and Sophie exchanged amused glances. Better luck next time, Sophie teased. Marcus let her go, then reached up and lifted the float, but not before giving Sophie a wink.
Oh, I intend to win next time, he affirmed.
Win what?
Millie asked, adorably clueless, jumping into the pool. Sophie laughed. Marcus's day at Sophie's passed too quickly for his liking. They'd spent most of the day either in the pool
or eating Walter's delicious barbecue on the deck. Citronella torches burning all around to keep the bugs at bay. He was sure he'd been sunburnt. His skin had turned red, despite multiple layers of sunscreen, and he could feel the heat draining the energy out of him. But as the sun set, and they sat around a small bonfire, roasting marshmallows, the delicious smell of the fire and the twinkling stars overhead gave him a sense of deep satisfaction. It was unlike anything he'd felt in a long time. He'd brought out his guitar and gently strummed whatever came to mind while Sophie watched, her eyelids hanging heavy, her chin cradled in her hand. "You play really well," she admired. Marcus looked shyly away from her.
"Thanks."
Millie had been excited about the guitar earlier, but now she bounded around the yard and chased fireflies with a glass jar, tugging along a reluctant Sophie.
"It's the last night of summer," Millie pleaded.
"You've worn me out, girl." Sophie smiled and rolled her eyes as Millie pouted. "All right, just for a minute." She handed her marshmallow to Marcus, and he set his guitar aside to roast it for her.
"Yes!"
Millie pumped her fists in the air. Marcus chuckled. Then his smile began to fade. He still hadn't told Sophie. He knew it would ruin their perfect day, so he'd waited, trying to forget. But she needed to know.
"Millie, get yourself in here, young lady," Joyce called from the patio.
"Mom," Millie pouted.
"Don't mom me. It's past 10, Joyce insisted sternly.
"What about Sophie?"
"No worries there, Mills."
Sophie was out of breath as she returned to the fireside.
"I'm beat. We'll be right behind you."
Joyce stepped forward and put a gentle hand on Marcus's shoulder.
"You're welcome to stay. Our couch is a pullout."
Marcus smiled up at her.
"Thanks, Mrs. Briggs. I may take you up on that."
He rubbed his eyes.
"Getting pretty tired."
"I'll get out some blankets for you."
She disappeared inside with Millie, leaving Marcus and Sophie sitting by the fire. Sophie absentmindedly squashed her marshmallow between two graham crackers and took a bite.
"Gosh, I'm gonna need like a gallon of aloe for these burns."
"I thought you liked sunbathing," Marcus teased.
"Yeah, but not literally all day," Sophie replied. She pressed her hands to her arms, and even in the dim firelight, Marcus could see where her skin remained white as she pulled her hand away again.
"Ouch. Can you fix that with your life gift?" Marcus asked.
"Yeah, sort of. Still needs aloe, though. Have to re-moisturize the skin," Sophie explained.
"Here you go."
Joyce poked her head out the patio.
"Heard y'all needed this. Don't stay up too late. And make sure that fire's out before you come in."
Marcus turned, taking the bottle of aloe gel she'd offered.
"Will do, ma'am."
"Thanks, Mom."
She looked at Marcus as her mom stepped back inside. "You probably need it more than I do." Marcus shrugged.
"I'm all right."
Sophie snorted, then turned toward him, squeezing some aloe into her hands. She rubbed the aloe gently into his arms, then put her hands on Marcus's forearms. Her eyes began to glow as she concentrated. Marcus felt the aloe soaking in rapidly, and a soothing sensation spread upward and covered his burned shoulders, neck, and back.
"Geez, you're toasted."
Sophie looked at him.
"Why didn't you say something?"
"Well, I thought you'd figure it out when we woke up, and I looked like a lobster," Marcus confessed.
Sophie laughed. She let go of his arms, and he rubbed his skin, awed. The heat exhausting him had vanished, and the redness diminished significantly, even on his shoulders and torso, where she hadn't touched him.
"That'll never not be cool," he noted.
"You're welcome."
She got to work.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?